Would you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I want to thank Jim Hughes for his reading this morning. He's got a great church voice. But these are two challenging readings. Think about it. Let's go back to the desert with the Israelites. So according to scripture, these people have been held in bondage for hundreds of years. They had just been delivered to freedom. They apparently looted the Egyptians on their way out of slavery. And what did they decide to do with all of this wealth that they picked up? They get impatient. They want Moses to come back down faster. They think God isn't paying attention, that God doesn't care. And so they decide to make for themselves a new God. And so they take all of the gold that they have, they give it to Aaron, who somehow decides that they'll fashion a golden calf. Make a new God for themselves. And they'll claim that that God was the one that led them out of Egypt. Now, nobody here worships idols, I presume. But we are all prone to idolatry. Now, maybe you've got a smartphone that you spend too much time with. Maybe you spend too much time online. Maybe you want that car so much that that is what you're working for all of the time. Maybe you have a job that pays okay, but you hate it. But you love the money. We all are as bad as the Israelites were. And idolatry separates us from God. Now, there's a lot of projection going on here because we don't know exactly what God said to Moses. But God is clearly cranked. The word wrath is not used very often in the Hebrew Bible. But when it is used, God is clearly angry. His anger seems to have reached nuclear proportions. And he said to Moses, I will get rid of these people and create a new nation for you. Moses, to his credit, argues with God and says, you should not do that. You made promises to Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And by the way, what will this do for your reputation? The Egyptians will say that you had it in for them from the start. Again, there's a lot of projection going on there. And scripture often tells stories that are an interpretation of past events in a way that will make sense to the current generation. So we look at these tales and we see that they are written generations after the events depicted. And much of the Hebrew Bible was written in Babylon by the people in exile who were trying to figure out just how they had gone from having David and the world at their feet to being in exile. Where did everything go wrong? Now, I'm going to turn to the parable, and I'm not going to forget what I just said, but the parable is kind of mystifying. There's a wedding that's going to take place. The guests don't want to come. The wedding host decides to throw out the original invitations and to invite people on the street. And finally someone shows up. And what is the response of the king who is throwing the wedding party? It is to criticize what this guest off the street is wearing. I don't like what you're wearing. And so this person is cast into darkness. He's bound. And there's a gnashing of teeth. Very biblical phrase. What's going on here? Who is this king? So I'll remind you, the parables do not retell stories of events that actually occurred. There are no people who are being talked about here. The king is God. Okay, we can work with that. But God seems pretty cranked here. God seems a lot like the God we read about in Exodus. But what about the God that we've met in Jesus? Where is that God? He is here. Many are called, but few are able to serve. Think about that. The call of the gospel goes out to all of humanity. And it's great to see all of you here this morning. But look around you. Not every seat in the pews is filled. The sanctuary should be full. At least that's what the church would like. But not everybody hears the call and responds. Not everybody is ready to respond. Now, some of you might say, wait a second. I thought God was going to be doing everything for me. It doesn't work that way. We were called by Jesus to repent, to look in our hearts, to really ask what we're doing with our lives, and then to make some changes. The religious authorities of Jesus' day thought that they were all set. They didn't need to make any changes. Well, Jesus thought otherwise. People need to prepare themselves to enter into the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not out there somewhere. It is here. But think about your priorities. Think about our society's priorities. And think about how those do not line up with God's. Jesus talked about the vineyard, as did Isaiah. The vineyard was very important to God. It was something God cared about. The vineyard was Israel. And God tried again and again and again to get the message across. God really wanted the people to understand that he loved them. But they love their golden calves. Now, we're no better than those ancients. Now, I'm not saying that you're all a bunch of idol worshipers. And I'm not an idol worshiper. But we have our failings. And the good news of our faith is that God still wants us. Yes, God can be tempted to anger. God's patience can be tested. And we do that a lot, don't we? So it's great to have the kids up front here for the baptism. But I noticed one of our kids was a little bit more rambunctious than the others. But I was happy seeing that. Fortunately, he did not cross over to any kind of behavior like I would have when I was that age. But that kind of patience and forbearance is what's involved in being in a relationship with a child. Now, maybe you were all perfect kids. I know I wasn't. I wasn't smoking out behind a barn. I wasn't taking the car out after I'd been drinking. But when I was a little kid, I had a reputation in town. And so I'll tell this story, which I may have told you in the past, but the fire alarm went off in our place of worship. And my mother was there. And everybody asked her where I was, because I must have pulled the alarm. And my mother, to her satisfaction, was able to say, "He is not here." But people assumed it was me. So I was the kid who set off the alarm in the department store. And I will confess, it was not my most insightful moment, but the bar, emergency bar on the door, said press in case of fire. I focused on the word press. And I have to tell you, when you're a little kid, like the ones who are up here, watching a bunch of adults running around like chickens with their heads cut off, it's actually kind of amusing. Now, my son never did that. And thank God. But I would hope that I learned something from my experience as a child and carry that with me into my adult life. Unfortunately, we learn lots of bad things as kids. And a lot of those bad things are in the behavior we see from our adults in our lives. Really. So I spend too much time on my phone, checking emails, doom scrolling, looking at the sporting results for my fantasy teams. But I try not to do it in front of my kid. I try not to do it in meetings. I try to show respect to people around me, just as I hope they would show me respect. And in doing so, would be present in the moment. So my hope is that nobody here would ever want to build or invest in the golden calf. That was a crummy investment. And crummy is not the CR word I really want to use there. But that was the stupidest way people could have made use of their wealth. And scripture is clear on it over and over again. Look at Isaiah, and he rails against the idols of the Babylonians. Oh, they look impressive, but they have to be pulled around in a cart because they can't move themselves. And maybe we don't make idols out of gold these days, but we fet celebrities. Some people lionize politicians. And yes, worshiping a politician is as fruitless as worshiping a golden calf. I don't care whether the politician's on the right or the left. They will all fail us at some point. They are all human. But we should put our trust and hope in the church. And yes, the church has not always lived up to that hope. But this church tries to. And if you come from another congregation, I hope your church does too. We are not all like the people we see on TV. The church is filled with good people. People like you. Yeah, you. And if I had to bet on the future, I would bet on the future filled with people like you. Any day of the week. So please, don't make that a bad piece of investment advice. I don't want to be like the cab driver who gave out stock tips. And I did receive stock tips from a cab driver in New York. Well, I'm still working in the law school at that point, so it was a couple of years before everything went belly up. But when cabbies are giving you investment advice, that's usually a sign the bottom is about to go out of the market. But if a cabbie were to tell you to go to church, that might be worth listening to. If I tell you to go to church, I hope it's worth listening to. But I work for the church. I work for you, and I ultimately work for God. But what about you folks? Who do you work for? My hope is if you sat down and answered that question honestly, that after you talked about working for your employer or yourself, you would think about working for God too. And that doesn't mean that you have to come to church and pray every Sunday, as much as I'd like that. But you need to serve God through your life, through sharing that joy with others. Don't be caught unprepared if you're invited to a wedding. We all got the invitation. We'll have time to get our suits and dresses ready. We all have a chance to get a present. And we all have a chance to go to the wedding with open hearts and minds. Really. So let's give thanks to God for the invitation. Holy and gracious God, we thank you for all you have done. And we thank you for the lessons of Scripture, which call us to think about how we're leading our lives and what we can do to make things right. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.